Good morning. It's good to be gathered on this day, this Wednesday, a third day with clouds and mist. It's probably good for our skin, but I'm ready for the sun. Maybe you are as well. We gather this morning with a theme of Jesus' influence toward peace building and look very much forward to hearing from our speakers, who will be introduced in just a few minutes by Carol Tobin.
Good morning, I'm Carol Tobin with Virginia Mennonite Missions, and you might see me around in that capacity, or also because I happen to be Melody and Jess's mom, or also just because I care about EMU and that folks here would learn to follow Jesus and know that he's supremely worth it. I first met Dan and Joji when we were living in Southeast Asia, and I thought, these guys are just so in love with Jesus, and they're so vigorous in their witness for peace and in what they're doing, that they just have to come to EMU. This has got to be a good venue for folks to hear them. So we kind of all worked together and made it possible for them to come. So we're just really grateful. They're Mennonite Canada witness workers in Mindanao, Philippines, a very conflict-ridden place in a Muslim context. So we're just delighted that you're here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Dan, and this is Joji, my ex-girlfriend.
And we're still dating.
We would like to share with you the story of peace and reconciliation. I'll call her later. My background is that I grew up in a Baptist pastor's family. But then when I was under the martial law, under the Marcos regime in the 70s, I was about 15 years old. I asked a missionary, American missionary from Ripon, you know, in this place, there's so much injustice, and we live near Subic Bay Naval Base, the biggest U.S. Naval facility during the Vietnam War. The 7th Fleet was there, and I was asking this missionary, almost half of our population in this city are prostitutes, and servicing your Air Force, Navy, Army, Marines, and you're here from the same nation. I don't understand this. You bring Jesus, you bring war. What's happening here? Oh, don't worry about the injustice and everything like that. Jesus will come and there will be rapture and we will be up in the clouds and it will be their problem of tribulation here. You're talking about my friends, my cousins, you know. And I said, you know, I'm out of here. I joined the communist movement, the youth communist movement, and I was very active because my father trained me to be a preacher. Boy, I was preaching Maoism. You know, true revolution can only come through the power of the gun. But somehow at age 9, I accepted Jesus as my Savior and Lord. And so, while preaching Maoism, I have eternal security. Assurance of salvation. You know what that means? I just had a collision with the army without fear of death. And I got to be in the highest ranking in the Communist Party of the Philippines in the youth sector. And in 1986, I joined the People Powers Movement, and the party said, no, you cannot join. That's a yellow movement, that's the middle class, the bourgeoisie movement, that's not the movement of the masses. And I said, well, according to Mao Zedong, we're like fish swimming among the masses. The masses is the water. Where they are at, that's where we swim. So the CPP, the movement in the Philippines, was divided in half. The first half was the affirming the armed struggle, and they were called RA. Those of us who gave space to nonviolence were told we were RJs, that's rejectionists. And so, because I was so disgusted with the whole movement and about the Philippines, our revolution was a failure, I brought my family to Canada, in Canada for 20 years, a journey towards peace theology. After 9/11, I had to go back to the Philippines, and I started praying for the peace and reconciliation. In the Philippines, you see, we started with Spanish colony, American colony, war and independence, U.S. backed dictatorship, corruption and unrest until the present. And so we are experiencing unjust globalism, and we're praying that this will be Salam globalization. We're experiencing conflicted land, and right now we are praying for a harmonious land. And instead of violence, of injustice, we're praying for cultural peace. And there are so many things that affected my life while living in Canada. I read this book, Yahweh is a Warrior. What does it mean for biblical theology? That Yahweh is a warrior. And then A Covenant of Peace by Swartley. And the church can be a church. There can be a church-based peace building and justice ministry. And I said, wow, these are good framework for me to go back and understand again. Again, coming from conservative Baptist background, I need to start with sin. You know, you cannot live with that. So, but I have understood sin in a different, in a larger way. It's more. It's not just morality. It's not just, you know, personal pious thing. It's alienation from God that leads to spiritual separation, alienation from self that leads to psychosocial despair, alienation from others that leads to socio-political corruption, and alienation from the creation that leads to economic ecological disintegration. And if this is the kind of life, then we are missing God's shalom. We always say sin is missing the mark. What's the mark? I think it's shalom. So, we believe that biblical peace is shalom, salam, and the peace of God is central to the good news, and this is the positive reversion of what I believe to be sin, and this is harmony with God, spiritual transformation, harmony with the self, psychosocial transformation, harmony with others, socio-political transformation, and harmony with the creation, economic, ecological transformation. And because of Jesus, the whole life can be, all aspects of life can be whole. And this is what we believe as shalom living, and that's why we call ourselves Peace Builders Community. It's not just against war, it's the whole of shalom, and we want to live it. So, we also espouse adhere to the definition of J.P. Dedrock's reconciliation concepts, and then we apply this, and because of this new perspective, I told my wife, can we go back to the Philippines? And she will tell you the story.
So we're enjoying our relative peace in Vancouver, Canada. We lived there for 20 years. We brought our children in 1986, ages 5, 2, and 1. And this is where they had their elementary education, learned English as their second language, had their high school, and took their college degrees here in Canada. And my eldest daughter, she's 33 years old, and she's married to a Chinese-born Canadian. And my second daughter, 30 years old, married to a Filipino-born Canadian. And together they have, like we have four grandchildren, two each on both sides. And now, when my husband said, it's time to go back to the Philippines, now we're enjoying our Salam Shalom living in Mindanao. And we're with these Muslim people, we work with them, we try to understand their perspective. And my youngest son, 28-year-old, joined us in what we're doing in the Philippines.
Thank you. And so we immersed ourselves there and just allowed ourselves. You know, we came there and we went there and said, this is my passport, this is my CV, this is the Moro Islamic Liberation Front mass base, right? One of the biggest Southeast Asian Islamic militant movement. And so I said, this is my Canadian passport. I'm also a Filipino citizen. This is my CV. This is the picture of my family here. And the commander said, are you applying a job? I said, no, I just want to be so transparent with you who I am. And here's my intention. I want to really get to know who our Moro Islamic Liberation Front are. Because in CNN, in the Philippine media, you have been demonized, dehumanized, and I want to get to know you better. And I think you want to get to know a Christian who believes in peace. Said, we don't have a filing system for you. So, they embraced me anyway, you know, got so patient with me and all my cross-cultural boo-boos. And so they assigned this guy who take care of me, but if I do anything wrong, he will shoot me. So I don't know whether I'm hosted or hostage. At least host, you know? So whenever I see this guy so looking innocent, not so much. He's ready to fight. And I got to know a family who is the descendant of this Sultan Kudarat, their 1500 warrior. And these are the things that I learned as I live with them. And they adopted us as part of their family in the process, knowing that, hey, there are Christians who don't like war and they're not here to invade us and take our land. Because they're so burned with Christian missionaries who say, we come here in the name of Jesus and we have our Bible. And they say, on the five-year space that you're here, year one, you have your Bible, we have our land. Year five, you have our land and we have your Bible. You do that again, we'll kill you. You know? So we didn't do that. We just say, we just want to be transparent and get to know each other. And then the Sultan who adopted us, this is the Sultan, told me, can you bring me and I want to talk to your bishop. It's hard to get all the Mennonite bishops from North America, so I got the bishop of the Philippine Council of Evangelical Churches, ECEC, and this is this guy. And they had good interaction and they debunked the dehumanization and the demonization of each other, right? So, Bangsa Moro leaders or the Moro nation, that's them, and evangelicals began to enjoy a relationship based on transparency and trust. And through authentic and transparent relationship, we were invited by Islamic leaders to be part of their value transformation program. They want their revolutionary soldiers to stop kidnapping, to stop terrorizing, but to really fight a revolutionary movement, you know, according to a Geneva Convention. So they asked me, can you introduce what it really means to be a Christian to our ground commanders? Are you sure? Yep. You know, I'm a preacher, I'm a pastor, and I'm an evangelist. I convert Muslims to Christians. It's our problem. You tell us what you believe. Okay, so I preached in front of these ground commanders of the Moro Islamic Liberation Front. And why is there so much openness about this? Because many of their leaders have been influenced by your SPI, Summer Peace Building Institute. Many of Mindanao leaders came here, were trained here, went back there, and influenced some of these people, even the Muslims. And so when we came at the very end of the 25 years of MCC work in the Philippines, we kind of looked good because we were the harvesters. So all these things that you're showing, that we are showing, we happen to be at the tail end harvesting of what Luke Shockhurst, John Rudy, you know, the MCC people that were there in the past 25 years. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I can end there, right? No, I have more. So there was this graduation of values transformation. And this one of the highest commanders of the Moro Islamic Liberation Front, whom Luke met, right? He met them. He said, I have brought you to the very inner chambers of the Moro Islamic Liberation Front. How come you haven't invited me to your Mennonite church? There's no Mennonite church in Mindanao yet. So bring me to a church. Okay. So we arranged for a political, you know, passage for him to be in a Baptist church. Of course, I was a Baptist, so I brought him to a Baptist. He was dressed like an ustad or an Islamic leader. And the Baptists were so scared. There's MILF here, you see? It's like having an Al-Qaeda here. Then, something happened. We were there doing peace work, and there were communities that are so much in conflict, and all the things, the SPI stuff that we were telling them, they said, oh, we've heard that, done that, nothing works, go home. So my wife said, can we have coffee? And that's when Coffee for Peace started.
So as we do our peace work, peace dealing with those people, we found out that the Muslims, the indigenous people or the tribal people, and the Christians love to drink coffee. So why not use coffee as an iconic product for peace? So we offer coffee to serve to them as they dialogue together and discuss things in a mild manner, not a hot manner, so that they could talk more. So we found out that coffee is indigent in the Philippines, and we have that since the Spaniards came, 1500, it was there. And they have never taken care of that coffee because of other things, and the price of coffee at that time got lowered. And these indigenous people, we wanted to help them, so we promised them that if you take care of your coffee and produce good coffee, we will sell it and we will market it. So we packaged their coffee, and we brought it to Canada and let Level Ground Trading Company cupped it, and it was graded 80.5 and the other one was graded 87.5, which are premium and specialty coffee. So right now, we opened a coffee shop as a showroom for fair trade coffee. So we pay the farmers at fair trade price and we help them have a sustainable living and at the same time saving the forest where they live, because they live on the highland, and in the Philippines there's lots of floods, illegal logging, mining, and Arabica coffee grows best on the forest with other trees. So we are targeting three items here. We're targeting to help the farmers, we're targeting to help the environment, and we are promoting peace building in our country through Coffee for Peace.
Thank you. So, instead of us doing all the work, the bishops, the pastors, the political leaders, the business executives, and the artists told us, can we help, can we do the work and you just train us? And said, sure. So we developed peace building seminars, mostly taken from the materials that you guys teach. And then we taught them to the bishops. This is the national bishop and the executive directors and bishops of all the denominations. And they really studied it well. And then finally they said, this is the Anabaptist theology. This is the theology that would really help the Philippines in its transformation vision. And so we trained region after region, pastors and bishops, until they were able to do a dialogue with the Moro Islamic Liberation Front, and we brought the bishop of the Philippine Council of Evangelical Churches, and this guy was a product of the relational building of MCC. Luke Chuckhurst and the MCC people were the ones who introduced them to us, and they brought us to the MILF. They had good talks, good narrative, sharing of our history, two perspectives of history, and then finally when we debunk the demonization and the dehumanization, the highest religious leader said, Bishop Pendere, can you pray for the Moro Islamic Liberation Front? Bishop Pendere said, how would I pray? Should I pray, you lose, we win? This is how we pray. He prayed, God forgive us, because instead of listening to Jesus to love our enemies, we listen to the government to bomb our enemies. And whatever the government tells us, the church, who our enemies are, we just declare it blindly that they are indeed our enemies. Forgive us. Now we want to love the Moro Islamic Liberation Front, the enemy of our state. And after that, the Moro Islamic Liberation Front top leaders said, from now on, we want to have an ongoing conversation with you. And then there's ongoing conversation, and we simply open the dialogue between the two, the bishops and the leaders, and there's so much understanding that happened among the bishops and even the pastors with all the senior members of the Moro Islamic Liberation Front. There were so many things that happened also in the church of the Philippines that we are now proclaiming the gospel of peace, Catholic, Protestant, evangelicals, and we work with the Office of the Presidential Advisor of the Peace Process, and so many meetings happen. And then finally, we said to the MILF, is it possible that, you know, maybe there should be a backdoor talks between the President and the Bishop of Davao, Mindanao, supported this idea. Finally, the President invited us in the Malacanang, that's our White House, to have a new era of peace talks between the MILF and the government of the Philippines. I did not apply for this. I did not work for this. I don't know how I got into the government office of the Philippines, but it happened. And then right now, after they had this talk, I will end with this. There has been a joint statement last March, and now we're working on substantive issues between the government of the Philippines and the Moro Islamic Liberation Front, and that includes power sharing in governments and wealth sharing. This is what Jesus can do in a conflicted land if we're faithful.
Inspiring work, inspiring words, and thank you for bringing this message right back to here, a place that you say was formative in some of the theories and practices and relationships. We have an opportunity to stand with Julia Schmid. If you would come forth, Julia, and some of the pastoral assistants and friends maybe who are standing with you, come forward. We have an opportunity today to come on up here, stand with Julia in support of her response to an opportunity for peace building. How about if you tell us what you'll be doing, and then we'll offer a prayer that will be here on the screen, words of commissioning and support, more likely in a prayerful manner. But tell us what you'll be doing.
I'm leaving tomorrow night, flying to Istanbul, where then we'll meet a delegation with Christian peacemaker teams. We'll then be flying to southwest Turkey, where we'll then be driving into the border into Iraq and spend 2 weeks in Iraqi Kurdistan, just hearing a lot of the stories and the work that CPT and MCC and others are doing there in Iraq.
And then upon her return, as this is not a year assignment, but a couple weeks, isn't that right? Mm-hmm. Julia will have the opportunity to bring a message to us here in chapel. So we'll have words here. Please join as we gather around Julia symbolically for all of us.
As God's Spirit calls and the community commissions, the servants of Christ are scattered in places of need throughout the world. We accept your service as an extension of this community and pledge our support. We join with you in seeking first the kingdom of God. Consider your assignment as God at work in you, ministering to human need. May you be given a deep love for those among whom you will serve, and may Christ be known through you in word and deed. Our prayers will be with you while you are absent from us.
and Alex.